This is the Sports Illustrated Boxing Podcast.
It's boxing.
A look inside boxing with Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix. Interviews, analysis, and everything going on in boxing. And now a man who I wish was called the Boston Bleeder.
All doctors to the ER.
It's sort of like getting punched in the face.
Chris Mannix.
All right, joining me now is Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy, the Hall of Famer, the founder of Golden Boy Promotions, coming to me from California. You still out in California these days, Oscar?
Yes, right in Pasadena.
How is California these days?
It's a little confusing, actually. They keep closing establishments. They keep opening them up. You don't know where to go to have dinner, because you can eat outside, you can't. But overall, look, I mean, we're keeping safe. The governor's doing a great job in making sure that California's safe. So we're very grateful for that.
You're scheduled to return with your first show on July 24th. That's going to be in California, Indio, California, specifically at Fantasy Springs, Virgil Ortiz. I mean, how confident are you, given what we've seen Top Rank go through with their bubble in Las Vegas, that you can create a safe environment and an environment that allows you to put on, you know, the kind of fights you want to put on?
Right. Look, I mean, we've been talking and working very closely with Fantasy Springs Casino. They've been a partner of ours for many, many, many years. They have the venue, they have the hotel connected to each other. We've been assured that that everything is good to go. Everything is safe, and we'll be able to quarantine everyone who's involved in the show for a couple days. So I believe that the commission here in California will do an outstanding job and keep everybody safe.
Do you feel like you have to do anything different than what Top Rank and Nevada have done? I mean, you know the Nevada Commission well. It's a top commission in the U.S. Top Rank obviously is doing everything they can to put on shows. And yet, I mean, it's like every other show, they lose somebody of significance, whether it's a headliner or a major fight. Does that give you any concerns? And do you have to do anything different?
Well, look, we've been speaking to all our fighters, to everyone involved, the trainers, to make sure that you stay quarantined and away from people as much as possible. Look, everybody has their a responsibility to take care of themselves, to make sure that you don't come in contact with other people or people who might have the virus. So we can do as much as we can do in our part. And, the fighters and the teams have to do their part.
I want to ask you, Oscar, about your company, Golden Boy. I mean, you are effectively running a small business in a lot of ways. It was reported that you took some of the government money, the paycheck protection money, which is certainly well within your rights to do, to protect your employees and their salaries and their jobs. How has the pandemic impacted your business?
Well, look, I mean, luckily we've been a very successful company for many years, for more than 20 years. And we've been very diligent, very smart in making sure that that we stay afloat, especially in situations like this one, where there's literally no work for anybody. Yes, we were able to get some help. And the reason why is because I wanted to keep all my employees. I did not lay off nobody. I'm still paying them because I have a team that is very loyal to me for many years. And so the right thing to do was to make sure that everyone has a job and everyone has basically a roof over their head, because look, these are tough times, and I've come out of pocket as well many times over the years, which I don't mind, because again, loyalty to me means a lot.
You know the economics of your business. Do you feel like boxing resuming and you getting some shows off the ground, you know, I don't want to say solves your problems, but it gets you out of the black or so, or out of the red?
No, look, we've been in the black for many years, like I said, and look, I'm an individual who can easily transfer funds whenever I want and keep my companies afloat. That's no issue whatsoever. You know, we have a very capable team behind me who obviously knows how to work the numbers and make sure that that everything is fine. Mm-hmm. Especially in situations like this one. So we're not worried one bit. We just want to make sure that the fighters are staying active. We want to make sure that we continue to deliver the best fights. We continue to deliver entertainment for the viewing audience.
All right, so you made some noise in the last couple of weeks when you suggested at 47 years old that you wanted to come back and you wanted to fight again. How seriously should we take that, Oscar?
You know, actually, I've actually been training now for a couple of months, and I'm up to about 6 rounds of heavy sparring. I want to get to about 12 rounds to see how I feel. But Chris, I mean, obviously, you know how, I mean, my body can change from one night to another. I can get an injury. I can tear a muscle. I can, you never know. But right now at this point, I've been running now 6 miles every single day. I feel good. It has to do with obviously, the vitamins I'm taking, the doctors I have, doing everything correctly, meaning resting and waking up early and eating the right foods. I mean, you take a look at Mike Tyson and you see his body, the way he looks and the way he feels. And so, you know, it's we're living in different times now. And I feel great. I feel wonderful. And so until I get to those 12 rounds and spar, I can give you a definitive answer of how I'm going to feel and if I do come back.
Is there something different about this time around? Because you flirted with the idea of a comeback several times since you retired back in 2008. Is there something different that has kind of triggered this and has you back in the gym?
I think it's just a matter of pulling the trigger, of making that decision to go to the gym, to wake up in the morning, to make the sacrifice. Before I wanted to do it, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger. I couldn't wake up in the morning. I couldn't, you know, take myself to the gym and spar 6 rounds. Now it's like I have this motivation just, I guess, to do it for myself, to prove to myself that I can do it. And, we'll see what happens.
You've kind of tied, you know, this idea of coming back to what Tyson is reportedly going to do, come back in some way, shape, or form. Tyson, it seems like, is going to come back in some kind of exhibition-y sort of bout. It doesn't seem like he wants to come back in a real fight. How do you approach that? Do you want to come back for something real, or would you rather come back for, you know, De La Hoya Mayorga once again or something like that?
I would actually come back in a real fight. I mean, everyone who knows me knows that I just go for the best right from the top. And so, I mean, I remember taking, I think it was close to 3 years when I fought Mayorga in a comeback fight. So there's no tune-up fights for me. There's no filling out process. I want to go straight to whoever's the best out there.
You knew after losing to Pacquiao back in 2008 that it was time. Like that it was time for you to retire. What makes you think now that 12 years later that you can hold up against the best?
Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of, I guess, variables that come into play. I mean, look, you take a look at the Pacquiao fight, and I mean, that wasn't me. I have to admit. I mean, coming down from 160 back to 47 and losing the muscle, and obviously no excuses. Pacquiao's an amazing fighter, amazing friend. He did a number on me, but it wasn't me at 147. And I was weighing actually 144, which, I mean, I was a walking zombie. I strongly feel that if I come down to 154, which I can, and I know I can, I can do something. I can do some damage to a few fighters out there. I mean, skill is involved. Obviously, my power, you never lose power. Maybe my timing might be off a little, but that's something that I'm gonna have to figure out when you're up there. So there's a lot that comes into play, and I strongly feel that I can do it.
Are you doing this right now on your own, or are you working with a trainer or a team of some kind?
I'm actually working with a small team of people here in Pasadena. Nobody that the people might know out there that have a name or but they're helping me out to get in shape, to make sure that I don't get injured, make sure that all those little fibers and muscles and tendons stay strong in order to take it up to the next level. And that next level is starting my boxing camp. A serious boxing camp, and then we'll take it from there. So it's two or three levels I have to get by, and then step it up a notch. And that notch is ultimately sparring with big time, big time fighters, fighters who have experience, fighters who are, championship caliber.
You've worked with several big name trainers in the past, Floyd Mayweather Sr., Freddie Roach, Nacho Berristain. Have you given any thought at all to who might, work with you in this process?
Well, I mean, the only person that comes to mind and the only person that I would ask humbly is Floyd Mayweather Sr. Floyd Mayweather Sr. Is the only trainer that can tell me to wake up at 5 a.m. is the only trainer who can push my buttons and make me work hard and smart. So I would actually go to him and humbly ask him if he can do this favor for me.
So do you have a timeline for when you'd want to make a decision like this? Is there something in your head that says, all right, by date X, I have to figure out if I'm going to do this or not?
Yeah, by September, I'm hoping to spar 12 rounds on a regular basis, and by that time I do want to make that decision of fighting first quarter of next year.
So I mean, you want a big fight, Oscar. You happen to have the biggest star in boxing in your stable. Is it possible De La Hoya Canelo in 2021?
I don't know.
That's not a no, Oscar. That's not a no.
Crazy, but not that crazy.
So not that level of fighter, perhaps. Not the best number one pound for pound on some list.
Canelo's an amazing fighter. He's the best. He's the pound for pound champ. He's hits like a mule. I don't know, Chris, you're throwing me in the fire here, but that's a challenge that, I never back down from anybody. Mm-hmm. But We'll have to wait.
I asked you about the exhibition. You could have taken the easy way out on that one, the exhibition. Let's talk about Canelo for a second. We're now about 2 months away from that, penciled in date of the Mexican Independence Day weekend that Canelo prefers to fight on. We've heard a number of different names floated out there, but in the last couple of days, Oscar, we have seen some of the names connected, take themselves out of the mix, whether it's Billy Joe Saunders, right, Sergey Derevyanchenko about to sign a fight with Jermall Charlo. Where do we stand with Canelo's next opponent?
Well, look, we have pending meetings this week. We are working every single day, day in, day out, to get this done. And like you said, look, fighters these days, they price themselves out because they don't want to fight. They price themselves out because they have advisors whispering in their ears that they're worth more than what they really are. The fact that you fight Canelo doesn't mean that you should be making triple or quadruple the money you're making now. And you have to take into consideration the pandemic. It's different times now, and fighters have to realize that they have to take pay cuts. It's been a very difficult process, but we feel very confident that we'll have something in writing, something nailed down in the next few days. Like I said, we have pending phone calls and meetings with Team Canelo and his team. So we feel that that we can get something done, hopefully by next week.
I do think that you're right about that part where fighters say we're going to fight Canelo, we deserve three times more. I think that's wrong, and I think fighters, frankly, should roll the dice on themselves a little bit, because as we saw with Andy Ruiz, like, you take you know, not Andy Ruiz made $4 million, good money, but you take a little bit less money to get the fight. And if you win the fight, right, there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So whoever beats Canelo probably gets a rematch for $10 million plus the next time around.
And that's exactly what fighters don't realize is that, you know, you have to beat the champion in order to make champion money. And, you know, a lot of fighters, unfortunately, are being whispered in their ear by people who just don't want to make these big fights happen. And it's very frustrating. It's difficult, but look, like I said, we've been in this business for a long time. We know how to deal with teams, with fighters, with managers, with everyone who's talking in the fighter's ear. We'll get this done. We've never failed anybody, and we will continue to deliver the best fights possible.
How would you characterize the impact of the pandemic on these negotiations? You kind of touched on it. Like, there's not going to be an $8 million gate or a $10 million right. gate in this fight. How yeah. significantly has that affected these negotiations?
Yeah, it's been very difficult. You know, when you take into consideration, you know, a 15, 17 and a half, $20 million gate, for instance, that we could have generated with Triple G and Canelo the third time around. It's a big blow to everyone. But everyone has to understand that, you know, pay cuts are going to happen. They have to take place in order to make these types of fights happen. But I'm very confident. I'm very confident that it shouldn't be an issue when you have the viewer who's at home desperately wanting entertainment. We strongly feel that with boxing coming back, for instance, July 24th, you know, it's going to be a great thing for not only the zone, not only for the boxing fan, but yeah, for everyone involved. People want to be entertained and people want to see great fights. And I can assure you that, you know, when a Canelo fight is announced, it's going to be the biggest thing across the globe. Because people are yearning to watch the biggest star in boxing.
DAZN, as you mentioned, coming back post-pandemic, you're the first show that they'll do on the 24th. They'll do another one at the end of August. You have a long-term deal with DAZN. How would you characterize that relationship, the strength of that relationship at this point?
It's a wonderful relationship. I mean, look, we're the promoter who moves the needle for DAZN here in the USA. You know, we have the biggest star. We have upcoming stars like Virgil Ortiz, who's fighting July 24th on the first show back. We have Ryan Garcia, who can be a superstar in the sport of boxing. So, you know, our relationship is an amazing relationship that's growing. We're nurturing the relationship in order to become the biggest and the best. And that's exactly what we want for DAZN, and that's exactly what they want for us. We're a team. We love working with DAZN, and you know, we're gonna make sure that that we deliver the best of the best always.
Your relationship with Canelo has been scrutinized a lot over the last year or so. I mean, where does that stand now? I mean, I know you guys were in Tahoe for the golf tournament past. Did you interact with him? Was there any exchanges there?
Yes, there were actually, and it was very pleasant. I was very happy to see him there, and he was having a lot of fun. He was with Stephen Curry, and you know, hitting golf balls and interacting with the fans, and so I was actually genuinely happy for him that he was in that type of environment, mixing it up with other athletes and the fans. You know, so this is like a family, and in family, you know, you have your arguments once in a while, but it's always going to be family. So I'm very happy that we were able to interact, and the only thing we want for him is to get him the big fights and take it from there.
Do you believe personally there's a pathway back for you and Canelo to get back to the place that you were in just a couple of years ago when, you know, Canelo chose to stay with Golden Boy long term? Is there a pathway back to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like I said, I mean, family is always going to be family. And, you know, when you're always doing the right thing, you know, there's nothing that can go wrong. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I really respect and admire Canelo for what he's done. And I'm really looking forward to many more years to come working with him and his team.
How certain are you that Canelo will fight on that September 12th date?
I'll know by the end of this week. Mm-hmm. But I'm very certain that he will. Mm-hmm. Because DAZN wants it, I want it, and Canelo wants it. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a matter of just nailing down that one opponent who wants to take the chance, who wants to take the risk, who is going to get paid handsomely, obviously, but, you know, who is not going to be these fighters who think they deserve, you know, world championship money just because they fight Canelo. They have to earn it. And so if once we nail down an opponent like that, then we have a fight.
Who's at the top of the list?
I do not want to mention any names, but every time I do, they add a zero to the negotiation. So I'm going to keep quiet for this one, Chris. But I can assure you, we will have somebody in the next couple of weeks.
I want to ask you quickly. You mentioned families have squabbles, and you know, right now, you and Ryan Garcia, it's gotten public over the last month or so. What's happening there? Like, how did it get to this point where you and Ryan are not only disagreeing, but you're disagreeing publicly right now?
Well, I mean, I guess he's disagreeing publicly. You know, it's a shame because we only want the best for him as a friend, as a promoter. And like I said, when you have advisors who are whispering in your ear, you know, it's unfortunate that a lot of these fighters listen to these advisors, to wrong information. You know, we strongly feel that that we can make Ryan Garcia a global superstar inside the ring. Yes, he does have the following. Yes, he does have all these Instagram followers. But I want to make him a superstar inside the ring. I want to make him a world champion many times over. We still can do it. I will do it. He's our fighter under Golden Boy. We have many more years to work with each other. And there's nothing better than to, you know, see him blossom as a fighter and as a person. Because look, as a promoter for us, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work day in and day out. And sometimes it's unfortunate that you have to sometimes babysit these fighters as well. But look, one thing about Ryan is that he's a very mature fighter. He's a fighter who knows what he wants. Like I said, this is family, and in family you have squabbles, but we'll get over it.
And look, I said this to Ryan. I think that Ryan's probably been devastated by the pandemic as much as anyone, because if, you know, this pandemic doesn't hit, I'm sure you guys go into a Linares fight, that's it, Staples Center or some other kind of venue like that where everybody makes some money, and we're not talking about money right now. It seems to me that he's been significantly adversely affected by this pandemic.
Absolutely. And I mean, just like everyone else, look, we had huge plans for him July 4th. I want to stage a major event on July 4th, on the birth of our nation. You know, how big would that be with Ryan Garcia fighting on July 4th? It would be special. And so, look, everybody's been affected. It's been very difficult. And, you know, there's fighters who understand and there's fighters who don't. And, I just feel that, that we'll get through this. It's a matter of time and we'll move forward.
One of the things Ryan did say, Oscar, in that interview with The Athletic was that he's been trying to reach out to you personally and he can't get a hold of you. Is that accurate?
He has my number. I mean, he knows where to get a hold of me. Look, I try to get a hold of him as well. And again, it's unfortunate that he has advisors who are giving him wrong information.
Hmm. You guys need some help? We can just bring him on the podcast. Like, it'll be like one of those game shows. We can like roll him in. Like, here's Ryan Garcia. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah. There you go.
He did say, you know, if you don't believe in him as a world champion, you should just release him outright. How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, our job is to make him a world champion, and that's what I'm going to continue doing. We have him on the right path. He's a very talented fighter. We believe in him. And obviously, we have a long-term contract together, a pact together, and I'm never going to stop believing in him. I want him to supersede whatever I did as well, you know, inside the ring. I want him to become world champion many times over. It brings me great joy to see these fighters, you know, make their dreams come true and have those titles around their waist. There's nothing better for me than that. That's exactly why I'm promoting, is to make sure that these fighters become world champions and live their dreams. So, I feel that Ryan Garcia can be one of the best fighters in the history of this sport.
He does have that you factor, for lack of a better phrase. I mean, you came out, he doesn't have the background with the Olympic gold medal, but I mean, you came out of the Olympics, you had the skill, you had the appearance, you had, you were obviously well-spoken. Ryan is all of those things as well. So, I mean, I think he, as much as anyone in boxing, not just in his weight class or in his age bracket, but anyone in boxing, the potential to cross over into those mainstream households, to do talk shows like you did back in your day. We don't see that anymore. I mean, the last boxer to consistently do talk shows like Manny Pacquiao and those, you know, kind of weird Jimmy Kimmel hits that he would do at times. Like Ryan Garcia could be a different level of that type.
Exactly. And we have the potential to create a mega star in Ryan Garcia. And that's exactly what our plans are. We know how to do it because we've done it before. Not only with myself, but with fighters that we've promoted in the past. And so Ryan Garcia is the perfect candidate to not only become a champion, but all to become a superstar outside of the ring. And that's not very easy, but we have the formula to do it.
Do you believe, we've seen the last couple of days, you know, Ryan Garcia, Luke Campbell, their names being linked through the WBC. What do you think of that fight? And do you believe that will be Ryan Garcia's next fight?
Well, I mean, the WBC has ordered it. We're obviously now waiting for Eddie Hearn to make us the offer because he does promote Luke Campbell. And that's the fight that has to happen. It's the WBC orders. That's exactly what has to take place. And so it's a great fight. It's a difficult fight for both guys. It's a real fight. I think it'll be the first real test where fight fans and the public will finally respect Ryan Garcia by beating a Campbell. So this is a fight that if it does take place, will be a very, very entertaining pick 'em fight.
Before I let you go, Virgil Ortiz is the first one back, and he's another guy with enormous talent. I mean, the power that he has coupled with the skills that he possesses. I mean, he's going to face Samuel Vargas. What do you want to see in a fight like this against Vargas? And, I mean, how quickly do you think Virgil Ortiz will be moved along to get into that title contention?
Well, I mean, look, Virgil Ortiz is probably one of the most talented, pure fighters that we promote inside that squared circle. Look, Virgil is just a phenom. He's a hard worker. He's humble. He knows what he wants. And he wants it fast. And I strongly feel that what I want to see in this fight, July 24th, is I want to see him go a few rounds. I mean, this guy is no pushover. Vargas is a fighter who is going to bring it to him. He's a tough guy. He's durable. He knows how to fight. So I want to see some rounds out of Virgil Ortiz. I hope that he does go to deep waters, you know, the ninth, the tenth round, and see what he has, see what he's made of. But if he blows him out in one or two rounds, then I don't think I'll have a choice but to get him a world title maybe in his next fight or maybe first quarter of next year. I strongly feel that he is ready.
I think, tell me if you disagree, but I think for Virgil Ortiz, one thing I'd love to see is him in with a big hitter. Like, that's the one thing that he's missed up until this point. Herrera was an excellent win. Orozco, an excellent win. But then it was a mover. Yeah. Brad Solomon was a mover, so you have to learn some things there. I'm not sure Vargas has that type of power to impact him. So, like, whether it's a Thomas Delorme or somebody like that, like a hitter, to see if Virgil can hold up to somebody cracking him back.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Chris. Look, you have to experience all styles inside that ring before you get to that championship, you know, top level. But Virgil just keeps blowing everybody away. And, you know, until he gets that one opponent where he really respects and can't knock out, then that's when we know that we should, okay, put him in with that, you know, with the next level, with the world championship title fight. So I feel that he's on the right path. I feel that Virgil, you know, is less, obviously less than a handful of fights away from superstardom. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
You sure you don't want to call up Canelo right now? We can give it one last. Sure.
Sorry, I actually have another call that I have to get to.
Cinco de Mayo, you know, next year we can make it happen. Oscar, always appreciate your time, man. August 24th, Golden Boy returns, Fantasy Springs, Virgil Ortiz, Samuel Vargas, live on DAZN. Thanks for joining me, man.
All right, you got it, man. Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's it for this week's episode. My thanks to my guests. As always, subscribe to the podcast over at Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, you know I appreciate it, and I'll see you next week.